This conference is being recorded.
Are you there, Valerie?
I am there. Who am I speaking to?
Good. This is Mike Senyu. I'm with HMTRI.
Oh, okay.
Glow Hannah will be joining us soon. She's also with HMTRI. We'll talk a little bit about what we're doing. We formed this PLC for people who would be interested in developing job training programs.
Hi, this is Glow.
Hey, Glow. We got Valerie on the line.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Glow. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I like your name.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Valerie.
I'm glad you decided to do this. I think you're going to find this really beneficial. I'm sure Mike's been talking to you all about it. And
we actually just got started. We were telling her that we formed the PLC to join people together who are interested in job training and job development, particularly on brownfields. And the whole objective is to set you up so you can set up your own job development programs and learn from some of the other people. Many of the people have established programs. Some have not programs. They're in the same situation as you are. Some are contemplating it. And people come and go from this. Two of our most experienced people, Lynn and George from New Jersey Youth Corps, they aren't going to be able to make it today. But they developed a program about 7 years ago and have received EPA funding, and then that funding, they went through that established program. They kept it going, kept their program going, and found other funds to sustain themselves and have expanded it. They've done a wonderful job in expanding into green jobs and done a great job, and I think they've reapplied for some new grants. But so we have people like Lynn and George, and we've got other people who have submitted grants to EPA and are waiting to see if they've been accepted or may not have been accepted the first go-around and are going to resubmit for a new grant to start a training program.
I do have a question. Is there a national training program, or are they all like individuals to the organization or to the state?
They're all individual. What happens is they're federally funded, and EPA provides grants. The grant cycle is once a year, and they award about 10 grants all over the country. So in that respect, it's national. But then when the programs get started, before they get started, they start seeking partners locally and seek out local funds. And eventually, as in Lynn and George's case, they are often funded by the state, by departments of labor in the states, by cities. Some even get foundation money. And so they have their own individual programs. So they're actually very autonomous. Everyone's got a little bit different program. Probably the commonality is they're generally training environmental workers, people to work in the environment. Now they're kind of migrating into environmental jobs and green jobs that may have more to do with energy and environment. And usually they're also geared towards brownfields redevelopment. Are you familiar with brownfields at all?
Yeah, I am to a certain degree.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. These are the distressed areas in the city that old abandoned gas stations or might be a dry cleaner, and you see a fence around it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually abandoned properties. And what happens is people will leave them and they'll give them up for taxes, and then the city gets stuck with the properties. And they find that many of these properties, rather than being abandoned, they're collecting no taxes on, they can rehabilitate. And for sometimes it does get a little more expensive, but they're not as expensive as, say, a Superfund would be. They could rehabilitate the property. They could limit the liability of the new purchasers so that they wouldn't have to, if something was found, they wouldn't be responsible for someone else's pollution. And they make these properties productive again, bring them on the tax rolls, employ people. They might be a Walmart, or they might be a park, or they might be a warehouse, or even some manufacturing operation. So you've got this abandoned property that now is productive property and becomes now taxable and earning income and giving people jobs. And so our role is that jobs part. And what we want to do is we want to help people develop programs that will train people to do the work cleaning up those sites. Not so much working on the sites after they're cleaned up, but more towards the energy jobs and the environmental jobs and cleaning them up.
Okay.
Would you say, Glo, that's pretty much the way this is?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is that each program, Valerie, is geared toward the needs of the community that it's in. All the communities have different needs, depending on, like Mike said, whether they have underground storage tanks or whatever it is that they have. They're all going to need something different. Some programs need to have lead abatement, some need asbestos, some don't. So it just depends on what they need. And in order to find that out, they need to do a needs assessment in their community to find out what do they need to train on.
Okay.
Tell us about what you're doing down there.
Well, I'm in the process of creating a green jobs training school and at the same time working with the CRA, which is the Community Redevelopment Agency in Fort Lauderdale, with a separate company I have that's made up with architectural professionals to go in and to take some land and redevelop it. And basically we're acting as a developer, though, to an architectural community. So we're doing those two things hand in hand.
Someone just joined us. Who's that, please?
Hi, it's Paula Paris from
Hey,
GFN
Paula. Hey.
Hello.
Valerie is a new member. She's from the GC Connection down in Fort Lauderdale. And
what?
It's interesting. You're going to be doing green jobs training, which might include environmental. Have you done an assessment at all?
No, this is kind of new to me, though, considering the CRA, a lot of the properties that they would like me to take my group into and work on are industrial areas, and I thought that this would be a good link into that. Not only can I train people, but I also can actually use them in projects that I develop, so it seemed like a good
thing. Roslyn Howard?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name of the person that just...
Sorry, Rosalind Howard from Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, hi, Rosalind.
Hello.
Someone else.
Bye.
Who was the second person that joined?
This is Angus Reed.
Hi, Angus.
Hi, dear.
We're talking to Valerie Armour. She's with the GC Connection and doing this is a really an interesting. And some of you may have also been in a similar situation, a redevelopment corporation in Florida, redeveloping industrial properties. And she's got a blank slate, which is great because you can develop your program from the ground up, Valerie. And that's a great opportunity for you. Has anyone given you encouragement in terms of funding sources?
Well, I'm right now in partnership with several different groups, and actually at 4 o'clock I'm going to meet with some of them, and I'm trying to partner with going into the ARRA, the Energy Training Partnership Grant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to identify specific what I'm going to teach, what kind of courses I'm going to have, and this is one of them that I want to develop and say that this is So other than that, no, I haven't found any other funding yet. I'm looking. I'm trying to learn and look at the same time.
Well, that's what we all have in common, Valerie, is looking for funding.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all shared that. Is Angus or Paula, have you all, Rosalind, looked at the ARRA funding at all?
Yes. I'd like to ask, this is Paula, I'd like to ask Valerie a question. Are you the employer or are you the person who are you in charge of the contractors who do the work?
No, I would not be in charge of the contractors. I am the one who's training those people to be ready so when a contractor comes to me that they are able to use them. I make them
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought you said that but you also have properties?
I have two different organizations. The GC Connection, which stands for Green Collar and General Contractor, is the training part of it. The other part of it is that I'm also an architect and a real estate broker. And
okay, that's right.
On that side, I actually look for properties to develop. And I'm currently working with the Community Redevelopment Agency to the City of Fort Lauderdale, identifying properties that are just sitting there and nothing's happening and trying to be a developer and not look – I'm being my own client, which is not common for an architect to do.
No, it's not. And so the training part of the organization, is that a nonprofit?
That is a nonprofit.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And that's important because most of these grants require nonprofit status.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd want to establish that as a nonprofit. Or if it's a for-profit, you have to get someone to apply for the grants that is a nonprofit and then partner with them.
No, what I've done is I've separated into the two. So the GC Connection will remain a nonprofit, but the other side of it, my development company will develop the properties for them, and then they can lease from them. The city likes it that way because I create a tax base for them, and yet they're able to give me extra help because I'm bringing in a nonprofit. So it allows them more flexibility to help me as well. That was their encouragement, was to bring in two different companies. So that's what I have done.
Well, you brought in a concept that we've actually been talking about. And remember, Paula, we talked about this last week. The job trainers do not talk to the architects and developers. And
right.
If you go, and I would encourage you to go to the Brownfields Conference in next fall, because everyone gets together at the annual Brownfields Conference. By the way, we're going to have a marketplace of ideas roundtable, I'm going to head it up, and anyone who would like to that's going would like to co-facilitate with me. Let me know because the ICMA called me the other day, and we have on Tuesday we've got a slot for a marketplace roundtable, and we're going to get anyone interested in job training there and bringing in materials and sharing ideas. And I'd like to have some co-facilitators. And so if Paula or Angus or Rosalind, if you're interested, email me. If you're going to be going to the – it's in New Orleans, to the Brownfields 09. But what I was bringing up was we do not, as job developers, we have a tendency not to work with the land developers. And what you've got is a very interesting situation that you could create your own demand.
Yeah, perfect, actually.
We spend a lot of time trying to figure out how you could write regulation in city ordinances that require first hire, and they've done that in San Francisco, and St. Louis has attempted some things at that, and different communities have done some first hire, but it has had limited success because there's ways around it by the contractors. They could post first hire notices on a bulletin board on the 8th floor of some obscure building, and no one responds, and then they go
on a post-it.
Right. Exactly, and so you know it's a letter of the law, but there are communities that are working closely with the job training programs, and those communities are active. Once they start hiring the people who are trained, they find that they're better employees because they've been certified. They've been trained, and
exactly.
they have a natural flow. So what you have the opportunity of doing, Valerie, is making a system of recruitment, training, flowing right into your jobs,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd have the tracking down too. So that's excellent.
Yeah, because it's a big project, so I'm going, okay, try to do this one step at a time. And I tell people it seems overwhelming, like there's just too much going on, but I'm trying to focus and take it one step at a time. So, and the way I got, I just want to share this, the way I got my team to work with me is that I put an ad, unconventional, but I did this into Craigslist, and I invited any architect who was unemployed in our county, which is Broward, to join me and to do this. And I have 16 dedicated people at the moment, all of us working for nothing to promote this and to do this. And I think that that's novel because I've also taken them and now given them an opportunity to work on something. Even if they don't have a job, they're actually, their skills, I'm going to bring in training for them as well. So if they happen to pull away from me and get a job, they go into what I call hot instead of cold. And they're far more employable. So I'm doing many things at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's extraordinary and a model that really, you know, on the assumption that it, you know, that it can be done, I think that for others in the developer slash architect community, that would, you know, it would be a great example. I last year, Green Build was in. Had the convention in Boston, which is where I am, and Ben Jones was one of the keynotes. Desmond Tutu was one of the keynotes. I mean, it was a big deal. And then there's also a Boston Build, which is sort of was happening at the same time. And I was on a panel because one person thought it would be a good idea to get the job training, you know, for the architects to hear about job training and to sort of, and it was a totally new concept. And so I'm just wondering if, you know, if you are part of this, part of the Green Build or something, because those kinds of models are just, they're just not there yet. There's lots of green roof and green building and, you know, lots of good stuff, but not connecting. I mean, they're looking for architects, but they're still not, you know, the type of people that we serve in our training programs are, they're just not having those discussions and they don't really know that this kind of stuff exists.
Well, I mean, I am part of the United States Green Building Council, but as an architect, I'm definitely at what I would call at the forefront of what I'm talking about. I have tried to bring it up to the ARA in my community, and so far has been extremely unresponsive, which I'm very disappointed. I was hoping to elicit their help, also to even identify more unemployed architects. I do not know why they're not responding as a profession. We are definitely in danger of our profession changing and actually becoming what I would call minimized, and I think that that's a mistake. And so I am trying to change that, and as example, doing this, I'm hoping that I'm creating a new language, not only for how to bring in a project, perhaps, but also how do we deal with, like, the general contractors. I was trained that it would be an adversarial kind of relationship, and that was normally how they went through, and eventually I realized that was not going to work, which is why right now there's so many lawsuits in the green industry, and that's unnecessary. So we need to change how we do a lot of different things. So I'm tackling many different things at the same time.
Well, there is the person who actually moderated this panel is an architect here in Boston who really, you know, I know he has some connections. I don't know where they are, but I know he has some connections with the U.S. Green Building Council and something else. And I'd be happy to, once I get your email address, to put you two together and see if there's, you know, there's at least one other person, even though it's not helping you locally, that, you know, maybe there's a conversation to be had.
Because
I know
great.
He's...
Yeah.
In the post-session notes, we'll put everyone's email, and if you can identify the Green Building Council contact, that'd be great.
Good.
Yeah, and I'll also send, I think I still have the PowerPoints where those of us who were on the panel try to make a connection for the architect, so you can see what you have some material to borrow.
Well, we have this issue between the architect, the general contractor, and then as we move into some of the jobs that are brownfields training, we get into the inspector, and
yeah.
A bad guy isn't here today because he sent a great little note this week about the pecking order in New York and that inspector, and it was interesting because during our discussion last week, there wasn't a whole lot of discussion about the inspector, but he was at the top of the food chain, and then you've got that inspector, and then you've got the auditor, and then you've got the weatherization person, who is basically your construction person. But we've got this potential conflicts that you all have mentioned between the architect, the general, and the inspector going on. And, of course, the auditor at that point, he's more of existing buildings. But the weatherization person is doing whatever the contractor is suggesting he do. But if they're not working as a system, then we've got a problem, as Valerie said.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had this issue with general contractors and architects and owners, actually. I used to work with someone who built big buildings in Chicago, and of course, the architect was at that point. This was quite a while ago. They was getting a percent from percentage way back then of the building costs. So he was getting a percentage of the building costs, and then the contractor would sometime go and make deals with the owner that he could save him some money, and then would try to redesign the building on the architects, and they weren't too happy about that. You know, so constant problem going on.
Yes.
And I expect this is even more exaggerated. What it seems, though, Valerie, is you'll probably have to start talking about partnerships. And I know Angus has been great at this, and Rosalind's probably aware of this in terms of, and Paula certainly has, the need for establishing your partnerships. And it sounds like you've done a great job on the architectural side. Now the trick will be bringing in your training partners and your recruitment partners for people who are going to be trained, the stakeholders in the training who will be getting the job.
Actually, at this point, I have Workforce One. I have the CEO of Broward County. He's aware of what I'm doing, and he's invited me to participate in this grant and in the think tank. I'm also with OIC. They also have been offered as a partner. I have National Audubon Society, who has offered their assistance. So has Smart Growth, Broward Alliance. Actually, at this point, I have a lot of people who are like, okay, this is good. We will help you. So
right.
I'm like, good, because there's a lot to learn. I mean, I am an architect and real estate broker, and I learn quickly, but like applying for the grants, I'm sitting here trying to slosh through this thing, and it's huge, and it's some of this language I've never read before. So I'm trying to understand how does that apply to my concept, and
right.
You know, and you have to regurgitate it in very small pieces back to the government, or you're not going to get any part of that money. So
right. Well, yeah. One of the problems and one of the issues you'll find with some of the government in getting government grants, you need a good fiscal agent and a good partner. OAI has been very successful, and they're in our group, and we'll be probably in one of the next calls, and we'll talk to them about what they did. But they found themselves in need of a partner, so they needed a fiscal agent, and they went with the Puerto Rican Forum, people who provided accounts and auditors, which they weren't necessarily able to do themselves. So they took at the time, and they were so they took their concepts, and they were able to leverage and join in with an organization that was already established. And one thing you may find yourself having to do is finding someone. Now JFY is in Boston, but if they were in Florida or Angus's group, partnering with a group that's already involved in training, that they've already got the momentum is there, they've got the infrastructure there, they've got the accounting, they've got all of their connections there, and then you bringing in your...
And we speak government.
What?
We speak government.
That's right.
We're multilingual. Government is one of the things we speak.
Yes.
Got to know acronym.
OIC has been around for the past 30-odd years.
Right. OIC
so
is great.
Yeah.
OIC is great.
They're one of the ones that I'm probably trying to partner with. I'm actually sitting in their office, and we're trying to do something together. We're even going to go to this meeting this afternoon together. because they realize that I don't have it set up to do everything that grant requires. So
what you can do is leverage through OIC, and because they've done this and they're connected to labor, and so they're very familiar with this. And what they could do is then link with you, and what you may have to establish is you may be a tail wagging a dog, where they may be your fiscal agent, and the grant may run through them,
mm-hmm.
but you would direct it. And that's the kind of concept the partners you have to establish early on of how you may want to do that, because you want a well-established someone who's done it. When you look at the stimulus funding, for example, they want to know what your track record is, what federal grants you've already have, and it's a shame you have to have grants to get grants.
I know.
But they do want to see track records, and they want to see, you know, do they have the infrastructure established? And for someone who is trying to start, that's an impossible task unless they can identify an OIC or some organization like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could bring your concepts to what they're lacking, and that's the system. Because OIC does not have the reach that you have. And so that's an excellent approach.
Well, thanks for saying that. It makes me feel better. I just feel overwhelmed at the moment, so I appreciate the comment.
As a former the organization still exists. It's just not called OIC anymore. But OIC West, they have had a history of NIEHS grants through the CPWR consortium, and so they have have a model and a partnership model, a Green Jobs partnership model, so that if the OIC in Fort Lauderdale or in Broward County has any questions about what this might look like, OIC, the former OICW, now called Job Train, has a history.
These labor programs change every 10 years or so, and OIC was a huge program, and then they all kind of branched off, and like many labor programs, all of a sudden they had to be self-sustaining or find their own funding. Mm-hmm. So they went off in different directions, and many of them renamed, and some actually kept their old names, and
mm-hmm.
that's a good start.
Well, Rosalind, if you're going to give me information about the architect, if you could give me anything about that model as well, I would greatly appreciate it.
We'll send stuff over over the internet. Basically, that's kind of the way we work. And and you're finding out how informal these meetings are, because we were going to talk about certifications and about RR&P, which is a painting, and we'll probably put that off to another session, because we do limit these to a half hour, so it doesn't take anyone's a large resource away from anyone. But
I apologize. I was not trying to dominate.
No, don't apologize at all, because we all learn something, Valerie. When we go through this, we all learn about partnering. And, for example, I think I learned a lot about what you're trying to do is really what needs to be done. But to be honest, no one's done it yet. I don't know of anyone. There are some community development corporations who work very closely with the job training programs, but there's been walls put up against these. They're typically our job trainers. They might be part of a larger job training organization, and they focus very much on job training. And there may be a link to a community redevelopment organization or a link to the mayor's office, but it is a link. It's not they're not attached to the hip in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's to the detriment of the job training program and to the community, because what we want, the whole purpose of this is to have a concept of the redevelopment of the community, but in that concept, we're using the indigenous population. We want to use the people that are there and give them sustainable jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that would promote that greatly.
That was very well put and in a kind way. This is Rosalind from the Job Training Program. Sometimes it's really just a matter of not knowing what's out there. So certainly you're reaching out to the local workforce investment area would help, providing all that information to them.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and, you know, in being in the mayor's office, we keep telling the job training, when we get together, get first people you need to see is the mayor's office. And Valerie, that's something you might want to consider. We ask people, go to the mayor's office and find out where. Now, Rosalind, what would you suggest Valerie do first in terms of contacting government? And would you say economic development?
Well, each jurisdiction, each state is set up a little differently. In Baltimore City, you'd contact that one-stop operator, whoever's in the jurisdiction, and that is in the mayor's office. We work closely with economic development, so we would hope in every state there's some partnership there. So starting at either end should get you connected to both, either economic development or the workforce organization within the mayor's office.
Okay.
But partnering is key, and actually partnering is your first step in starting to feel out who you feel that you can work with on all of these steps. And real quick, when you think about the whole system, you're going to have to be thinking about marketing and recruitment and getting the right people into your organization. If you let someone else do it, you may not get the feedstock that you need. And most of these, if you get bad input, you're going to have a real problem with this training program. You've got to have people who can bring in the right people that you could train and work with who are motivated. And then as we go through it, we've got to be able to assess those people. And, of course, overlying all this, you've done a labor market assessment. You're going to know in the back of your mind where these people are going to be placed, and you're going to be doing your training program based on that labor market assessment. If you're going to be cleaning, if you have no lead paint, there's no sense in training for lead. If you've got radon issues or you've got maybe you've got tanks or maybe you've got gas stations or you've got to do that labor market assessment that will develop your curriculum. And then when you get into the curriculum, you've got some great community colleges down there, training organizations to supplement them so you can give them the proper certifications they need. Then once you train them, you've got to have all your students are going to have a list of credentials that'll enable them to get the jobs that will be developed as a part of this whole system. But you still need a placement mechanism. And again, if you just use Department of Labor resources, you may find that they're not as effective as getting your own people in there somehow. So that's kind of a quickie running through the system.
Wow, that's
would
good.
Any of you add to that in terms of what you find is really needed in that system? These are things that really Valerie has to look at even before she starts, isn't that correct? Do you all say
yes.
That?
I would say yes.
If you're missing any one of those, you end up with poorly or not trained students who aren't trained for the right jobs. And a couple sessions ago, we were talking about green jobs, and people in New Jersey said, you know, you could start training for wind and solar, but the jobs aren't there yet. They're not there. And the politicians will say, well, why aren't we training green jobs? We want these solar jobs or wind jobs. They're not there. So you train them, and where are you going to place them?
Yeah, well, that was my very first thing I wanted to do that I've been trying to field out to the municipalities. Their interest is to have what I call a green wow group go out to each city, and they literally walk the streets, and they might stop people and say, please don't water your sidewalk or you wash your car on the grass, something that you see that is obvious against what they should be doing. You try and engage the people to talk to them, and then you sort of find them, and you invite them to an educational meeting where they learn how to do different things, not only how to do them, but the incentives that are in place to do those kind of things. And I'm hoping that when it's one-on-one like that, that people start to actually respond. If you just have general education, it doesn't work. It needs to be one-on-one. I do it all the time, and people go, wow, I didn't realize that. Because I took the time to talk to that one person and make them understand, then they tell somebody else, and that would create the demand. If people knew that these centers were there, they knew that the things they were doing had an impact on them, they would do it, and then they would turn to cities and say, oh, by the way, I found out that there's this program. And then you start to create the demand, but you create it through my initial education of having people literally walk the neighborhoods and go and meet them and talk to them.
We'll send you some information on the EcoCorps that jobs that they've done in New Jersey.
New Jersey, that's a good model.
New Jersey.
I was going to ask if there was are there any environmental justice organizations in your area, because that's what the environmental justice organizations here have done. They have a program similar to the EcoCorps, where they have young people going out and talking to young people, and then they have some of them are doing door to door in their in their neighborhoods, but they're also partnering. I think the utilities have now taken an interest in making sure giving them information for at least homeowners to understand what kinds of incentives they might be qualified for if they actually take some very basic energy efficiency measures.
Mm-hmm.
So it can turn, they part of the education is one of the themes is, well, this can actually save you money. So that answers one of the what's in it for me.
Yeah.
And then there's the health aspect of, there are several aspects of it, but the question was whether or not you knew about, environmental justice organizations, because that's part of their mission is to do exactly that, and maybe they could, if there is one or two, maybe they could help you with that.
What we're going to do is, and we want to limit these 30 minutes, so on the 5th of August will be their next session. We totally went off track, but that's okay. We were going to talk about
fascinating. This is great.
We were going to talk about certifications and the HUD RRP. These are RRP regulations that these are they're putting very stringent regulations and expensive on lead trainers, and we were going to talk a little bit about that and certifications, but this is okay. We'll probably talk about it next week unless someone would rather continue on some other topic. I think we're going to move into the certification and curriculum of the types of courses and that are out there and the certifications that are out there. We'll do that next week, unless the group has strong feelings of wanting to do something else next week. Any feelings about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone okay with talking about certs and certifications and then moving into curriculum?
That would be great.
Same time. Same time next week. And also, I would encourage anyone with anything, actually, even if it's off topic and you've got something you want to share with the group, I'm sending out post-PLC notes. It'll have everyone's email on there. Just send everyone whatever you want to. I found it's very useful. The things that Guy sent were great, and Paula and all of these contributions are really useful. We'll talk to you all next week then.
Great.
Okay.
Great, thanks. Nice meeting you, Valerie.
Yes, thank you, Rosalind. Take care.
Thank you.
You guys. Okay.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Okay.
Bye.